This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. It's the end of March already, so cue the return of Wong Siew Lin and Lau Yau Hua, the co-founders of Makaranga.org, for their monthly wrap-up on environmental news. So today we're set to discuss protests by the Orang Asli community to protect their lands, also an important anti-poaching raid that took place, and finally a peaceful strike by Climate Action Malaysia demanding action to address the climate crisis. I'm going to let my two guests do the talking. Welcome, both of you. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good.
Fine, thanks.
Always a pleasure to have you. So let's get straight to it. So many protests, you know, the Orang Asli's land is under a lot of, coming under a lot of threat from the authorities, you know, for various reasons. What's happening there?
Yeah, no kidding, like for various reasons, right? So in just in this month alone, that we have heard at least two reports of intrusion into the ancestral lands of Orang Asli. So one in Perak, which happened at, you know, around Kampung Ulu Geruntum in Perak. And so the Orang Asli's there, they were shocked that, you know, they discovered logging on their land that happened without them knowing, without their consent. And this was according to a Malay Mail report sometime earlier this month. And the village chiefs there said that the logging, you know, would of course pollute the river which they depend on, and also, you know, damage the Rafflesia plants that's in that area, which is well recognized.
Yeah.
And when, you know, the reporters, Malay Mail, contacted the Perak Forestry Department for comments, right, the director said that they will check on the matter, which, and I hope somebody follows up on that, you know, what's with the checking there.
Yeah.
And in the same area, before, there was also concern of the construction of a mini hydroelectric dam that has already destroyed their burial grounds, the burial grounds of the Orang Asli communities, and also the fruit tree plantations. So this is all bad. I mean, I'm not really familiar with all the legality of this, but I'm quite sure that there should at least be some compensation, right? If, you know, if they use the land.
Consultation then, as well.
Yes, consultation first before compensation, of course. And then if it then switch over to Kelantan, which has for so long, there have always been so many disputes and protests by the Orang Asli communities there against alleged land grabbing. At Kuang Gua Musang, there's this proposed huge hydroelectric dam, the Nenggiri hydroelectric dam, and that has prompted a solid protest from the Orang Asli communities there. So I think on 22nd of March, there was this memorandum by the Orang Asli, like more than 3,000 of them have signed this memorandum objecting to the dam, and they claim that the dam would submerge, you know, an area of like 5,300 hectares, and that's about like 58 lake gardens for those who are familiar with KL, right? And who will be affected? You know, about 220 Orang Asli families will have to be relocated, and many other villages in the area will see their resources cut, like roads, clean water, food, medicine, building materials. And then there are plenty of anthropological and archaeological sites in the area that will all be submerged. So this is all bad, I think. I mean, the Nenggiri Dam, I haven't really looked into it, but apparently it's been on the cards for a while. And only now they are going to start, you know, sort of like building or looking into it. And supposedly the construction will start sometime next year, March, right? And TNB is involved. And TNB chairman Dato' Sri Mansur Khalid has said that they would look into the matter and that they will hold discussions with interest groups like Suhakam and Jakoa on this dam. So I think this is really an issue that all sectors of society you have to pay attention to and keep an eye on, and lend support wherever possible.
Yeah, and make sure that this looking into is actually looked into, lah, and we need to keep
looking. Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. But just moving on, well, some sort of good news, I suppose, for a change. Good and bad, I suppose, if you look at it. There were some anti-poaching raids conducted over in Tawau, if I'm not mistaken, right? Maybe you can tell me a bit about what happened there.
Yeah, right. So good and bad, right? Good because the enforcement officers are doing their job. So, you know, on March 14, the Sabah enforcement units raided poachers in a logging camp area in Tawau. It's the Sapulu Forest Reserve. And what they found when, you know, in their raid was that they found firearms and then several animal carcasses like wild boar and the local deer. They arrested 14 men, including 4 policemen. and allegedly one ex-member of parliament. And in response, the Sabah police, because there were some rumors online, you know, spreading that, oh, the Sabah police would intervene and sort of, you know, affect the investigation. But the Sabah police commissioner has promised that they wouldn't do any such intervention, and they will let the wildlife department proceed with their investigation. And as to the ex-MP, right, it's, you know, I've read all the news and I still do not know whether the ex-MP is true or false. You know, okay. I still do not know. But I think the good news here is that both Perhelatan in Peninsular Malaysia and all these anti-poaching enforcement units in Sabah and Sarawak, they are really doing their job. And at least we see all these reports coming out. And I think we really got to cheer them on, acknowledge them and appreciate their effort. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really important because it does raise the issue of, let me just say it's of corruption, yeah? Because you have policemen involved, allegedly. You have allegedly, well, it's not alleged, the policemen were nabbed, right? Sure. And then allegedly one ex-MP. So I'm referring really to a recent report that came out by Traffic, you know, the organization that looks at wildlife crime. And this study is called Case Digest. And basically it's an initial analysis of financial flows and payment mechanisms. Yeah. And basically what they highlighted amongst many different things, they looked at in great detail at some case studies, which of course included Malaysia, but this is globally, yeah, because wildlife crime travels globally and it involves global networks. And basically what they're saying is that there's a need to recognize wildlife crimes as serious crimes. Mm-hmm. This is not new. This has been said before, but another study has come out with great details about why this is very important. Another organization, Oxpecker, they looked at data, right? And they found that actually Malaysian judges are doing their part. They're actually imposing higher penalties than ever before against poachers. So Yahua mentioned poachers just now, yeah? But Traffic is saying that the perpetrators of wildlife and forest crime may have primarily, you know, done these crimes by committing a corruption offense. You know, and so Traffic came out with diagrams. You go to report, you know, you'll see it there. You go to the Traffic white website, you will see that about 53% of wildlife crime is related to corruption. Now, I'm not saying this is happening in Malaysia, but I think it is important to take note of global figures like this. And against the background of, you know, the nabbing of police personnel as well as potentially people in power, this is something to consider.
Definitely. And, you know, speaking of action, the next thing that we're going to talk about is local anti-climate change group Climate Action Malaysia. You know, they held a peaceful strike, I think, just earlier this month, right, to address the climate crisis and other things. And tell me about that. What was happening there?
Yeah, I think two points that are notable. First of all, you know, it's the first in-person live strike, if you like, since the MCO began. You know, so everybody's been doing digital strikes and everything. And now, you know, with SOPs, they actually observed SOPs. So Climate Action actually, and it's a youth group, you know, so yes, the youth are leading the way. They went out and they did a strike 2 weekends ago. And then last weekend was another strike by a youth group against the Undi 18 what shall I call it, issue. So that's the first thing, is the first in-person strike. You know, so I don't know whether this is going to, a forewarning of what's going to happen now, you know, in terms of local activism, and the climate folks are right in there. The second thing of note about this strike is that it's global and yet local. So it's global because it's part of global strikes. So, you know, Greta Thunberg's Future for Fridays group, so they had the huge global strikes. Millions of young people across the globe came out using the hashtag No More Empty Promises, and they came out with a 5-point action plan. So this strike was in concert with that global strike, yeah? But the second thing, they localized it by focusing on two of these points. The first point is that Malaysia should design climate policies that consider the welfare of workers and the most vulnerable. So just now, Yahua mentioned the Orang Asli. Orang Asli are the most vulnerable in society who are going to be disproportionately affected by climate change. You know, and also, they are the guardians of the rainforest. So nature-based solutions are another issue that that people are calling for in order to address climate change in Malaysia. Yeah, and the second action point that they addressed was to protect and safeguard democracy, right, by providing spaces and repealing laws that limit citizen participation on climate decision making. Now, one of the things they said is like no climate justice without freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. And they demanded, amongst their many demands, is that Parliament convene in Malaysia. They made a very pointed choice of where they were going to do this action, and it was in front of Tunku Kebangsaan, mm-hmm. which actually honours those who had fallen during the Malayan emergency, right? So what they have called for is no to political emergency, yes to climate emergency. And they had a die-in, you know, this is the usual thing they do. So basically, to illustrate the power of climate change, it's going to cause deaths, you know, and so they did this traditional die-in in front of Tugu Kebangsaan.
Mm-hmm. Very powerful.
Indeed it is, yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, I mean, there's a lot there, and I'm sure that Makarangar is also going to be covering all of these issues.
We need more reporters. We need everyone else to report together.
There's the call. So all of us, you know, to keep an eye on these stories and I guess to just keep making noise about it, right? Because, you know, if there's no noise surrounding it, I don't think action will be taken.
Yeah, absolutely. And also to praise those who are taking the proper action also. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, both of you. I'm afraid we're running out of time. But, you know, if anyone would like to find out more about the work that Makarangar does, just head to makarangar.org. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.